This is going to be a little bit different. It always is. If I hesitate or pause, it's because internally I'm praying or I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to move within me and the Holy Spirit to move within you. Today, it's not so much, I've been studying and reading this stuff for, or preparing, I should say, for this Sunday for probably 6 weeks or so. And I have a bajillion things I want to say. And so much so that it's confusing. I direct this to you, and I hope, I want to talk to you. There's some things I want to bring up, but I hope you all have an insert. And all I did is put three verses on it, because it seems to me that there are some things in our Christian walk that sometimes we do, but we don't. We don't do. The last time I talked to you, I talked to you about the power of the Holy Spirit, and who is my brother and my sister, or who is my mom, when Jesus discussed that. And it says, "He who hears the word and does it is who Jesus calls his brothers and his sisters." And so I call it, instead of, oftentimes I've gone to churches and they say, "Oh, church," I feel like saying, "Oh man, brothers, sisters." So in my devotionals, when I do a devotional, I pray, "Lord, you are great. You are awesome. You are above all. Give us understanding and wisdom in your word." That may not be specifically what I pray each morning, but each morning I sit and I pray and I look out the window and I'm now quiet. And I've usually read some scripture. And I say, "God, talk to me. Show me your way." And because I believe that, as Galatians talks about walking in the Spirit, you got to be in the Spirit. But we are so affected by, as the scripture puts it in Galatians, in the flesh. And it explains how the flesh and the spirit are against each other. And so when you look at your insert, there's one verse on the back side, and it's, you guys will know these verses. This should not be anything new to you. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." I don't know about you, but when I'm outside of church, 90% of the time, I lean on my own understanding. And I'm trying to fix that and cure that in my own life. And as I was praying and talking to the Lord about this particular verse, and I had finished with my devotion, I was walking out to my shop, and you've all heard, or I'm thinking that we have all heard the thing about throwing somebody under the bus, or somebody throwing you under the bus. And as I was walking out to my shop, after spending time with the Lord and having his Spirit upon me, the poem came to my mind about one set of footsteps in the sand, where Jesus says, I was carrying you. And this is what he said to me. Well, this is what I said to him. I says, Lord, that poem kind of came to my mind. I'm walking out and I says, Lord, I never see your footsteps because I don't look where I've been. I look at where I'm going. And the Lord said to me in the Spirit, he says, Dana, I've got your back, and I'll never throw you under the bus. Praise God for that. I also mentioned to you the last time I talked to you about having a sanctified imagination. Now, some of you may know what that means. Others of you may wonder what I mean by that. When I read Scripture, it kind of brings us to the second verse on the other side, or the first verse on the other side of the page, 2 Corinthians 5:20. And as we read it, as it's written out of the Scripture, I don't know where Diane took this one out, whether it's NIV or what. No, it's not New American Standard. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we were entreating you through us, and we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Now, that one verse, and any of the verses that I give you today, could be a discipleship. It could be something that maybe you could preach on any one topic, any one scripture, and I could fill the hours talking about being reconciled. But the thing I want you to get here is I want to put on that sanctified imagination for a minute. And I'm going to ask that you read this verse with me. So let's read it first, okay? As a group, out loud, off of what's written in the thing. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us, and we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. This is where the Holy Spirit's going to have to kick in. And not just with, but you really need to, I want you to meditate on the verse for a minute in just the quietness. Just read it over and think about how that verse reflects to you. Just take a second over again, but focus on its meaning. Focus on it, the different aspects of it. Now I want you to, we're going to read it again. This time, in saying, therefore we are ambassadors. Put this in the first person aspect. So it should read, therefore I am. Therefore, I am an ambassador for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. And I beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled. That's the part of a sanctified imagination. It's really not too much of an imagination, but it's putting yourself in Scripture to say, I am. Make it personal. There's so much to be said about being an ambassador. To think that as though God were entreating through us, as if he really needs us. But we are ambassadors. When you walk out of here, as we are brothers and sisters to the Lord, one-on-one, You're representing Christ. It does not matter how long you've known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It does not matter whether you're a new believer, because you can always tell the story of how you came to know Christ or what that part is. You don't have to give an answer for the whole scripture. I wrote down Galatians 2:20 because I want you to know where I'm at. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. In the Spirit, let's read it together and meditate on it as you read it. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Walk in the Spirit. Romans talks about the natural man. It talks about living by faith. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord always with all your heart. I like to add, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. I like to think of this in terms, in addition with lean not, trust in the Lord. Not just lean on your, I forgot how it goes. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and lean not on your own understanding. After finishing when I talked to you last time about the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, I was ready to preach another, bring another message to you at that time. And because I was doing my devotionals and stuff, the common thing is to say, okay, Lord, what next? Right? What next? I've had two people come up to me in the last month and say, Dana, we're starting a new Bible study. Any ideas what we should study? And I didn't have an answer for them at the time. But a very important verse came to my mind. And this one, until you really think about it, is probably going to stump you. And not that it, is what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the verse and ask you the question. This one comes out of Corinthians. This is a verse in my devotion that after talking about the Holy Spirit, came to me, and it was First Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man regard us in this manner, servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. What are the mysteries of God? Anybody got an idea? What comes to your mind? What are a mystery of God? Salvation. salvation through the Son, the gospel. Anything else? The Trinity? Mm-hmm. Creation. Well, I looked up every place in the exhaustive concordance that had to do with mysteries and mysteries of God. It's written, according to the New American Standard Version, 37 times in the Bible. There's two places in the Old Testament it's found. And when I say two places, it could be through the whole book. One is in the book of Daniel. It's mentioned 4 or 5 times, the mysteries of God. And in Job, Job talks about the mysteries of God. There's 10 times that it's talked about in the Old Testament. 27 times in the New Testament. So, in looking this up, as to the mysteries of God, because what are we supposed to do? Stewards and servants. We need to be ready to be a steward, being able to share this with other people, handling it accurately. That's one of my biggest fears in talking in front of you guys, is handling accurately the Word of God and not to get off on my own tangent. I think there's some serious warnings in there in Scripture about handling accurately the Word of God. But in thought of stewardship, so what are some things that came to mind about stewardship and in regard to the mysteries? And this is what I found out. In Daniel, it says a mystery was revealed to Daniel. That's Daniel 2:19. Daniel 2:28. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. So I always ask the question, what mysteries has God revealed to you and to me? Now when I ask these questions, you got to understand I'm doing my devotional. And that's why I'm asking the questions. It's not to put you on the spot, but it's to get you to think about the Word of God and how it affects you. And so these are questions that I ask myself. Dana, what mystery was revealed to Daniel? Matthew, in 13:11 says, Jesus answered, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Luke 8:10, granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God to the rest, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Oh, wow. So when you know what the mysteries are and you see and you say you hear, and you understand, you need to be ready to and prepared in your walk to share that with others. It's easy to say it. It's hard to do. First Corinthians 13:2. Know all the mysteries and all knowledge as to move mountains, and do not have love, you have nothing. Wow. Have you ever thought of yourself as being able to move a mountain? In a literal sense, I have moved many mountains. But if I don't have the love of Christ in me, I have nothing. It's not about moving the mountains. It's about the love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and lean not on your own understanding. First Corinthians 14:2, but the Spirit talks to God of the mysteries. God's Spirit is in you if you have Jesus Christ in your life. He talks to God. Wisdom is considered a mystery. Mystery of the kingdom of God. Romans 11 talks about the mystery of the fullness of the Gentiles, or the fullness of time, as you have heard it. Do you realize that there's three times in Scripture that the Bible uses to talk about the fullness of time? Most of us only think of it once. When the fullness of time came, Christ. Okay? How many of you think in terms of the fullness of time as because of the hardening of hearts? Talking about the Jews or the Israel people. When the fullness of time came, and because of their hardening of hearts, the gospel was given to the Gentiles. Wow. That's you and me. You know what's also interesting about that fact? Many Bible scholars, much more, and depending on what you have read as far as Bible prophecy and the building of the third temple and stuff like that, God's already created the third temple. He called it his church, and it's gone out of the building. It's gone worldwide. It's the whole church. And yet they're trying to build another temple in Israel. What for? So they can worship the Antichrist? Really? Because the Scripture tells us to be warned about seeing and be ready about the abomination of desolation. There's also the third time that the fullness of time is going to come. And that's when Christ comes to take back his own. That's what we're looking forward to. There's a new phrase I heard from my son, and I shared it with George and Alor this last week. And I'm kind of curious if anybody else has heard this, and I'm not really sure where this falls in, but the term that I heard was prophetic. Let's see, I got to get this right. Oh, gosh. I've lost it in my notes, too, here. Give me a second. See what happens when you're not organized? Oh, gosh. Nobody can help me because nobody knows what the term is. Oh. George, help me out here. Do you remember what I said? Nope. I'll find it in a minute. It has to do with prophetic prophecy. No, prophecy? There you go, perfect. Prophetic perfect tense is the term. prophetic perfect tense. Has anybody, somebody obviously heard it. Anybody know what it is? Tense, like past tense. Okay, past tense. Huh? Has anybody ever heard this term before? It was new to me. There you go. Speaking of the future as if it's already happened in Scripture. Prophetic, perfect tense. It's like saying that Jesus wrote the Bible. He tells us what's going to happen. It's a done deal. Prophetic, perfect tense. It's already happened. Man, when I heard that, I'm going to sit there. I had to meditate on that one and think about it for quite a while. Prophetic, perfect tense. You know, you should be reading the Bible daily, and I know most of you, and I know a lot of you, you do read the Bible daily. You do need to pray, and you do need to meditate on that. And you need to be ready to share what God has given you in your daily devotion so that you do not lean on your own understanding. Now, something else that came to my mind this week was Peter walking on water. And when you get to sharing your faith in Christ, sometimes you got to get out of the boat. If the Holy Spirit, if God's Holy Spirit is in you, and you are full of the Spirit, you should be able to walk on water, in a sense, and encourage others to get out and walk on water. Somebody that really drove this home to me was Kelsey Jones. Man, when I saw, she has ministered to me. I've seen her speak 3 times. You talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in her. When you see that fullness in her and that power of the Holy Spirit, man, that ought to be in all of us. She's had to get out of the boat and get out of her comfort zone and stand up and say, hey, what an example to us. What an example. So as you leave here today and you walk tomorrow or out the parking lot, remember, God's got your back. Lean not on your own understanding. I am an ambassador for Christ. Father, we just thank you so much for today. Guide our steps. Be with us. May your Holy Spirit talk to us. And may we cling to it. We thank you for this very moment. God bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yep, have a good week.